This is the Retirement Playbook with Brock Allspaugh from Allspaugh Wealth Management. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of the Retirement Playbook is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now here's the Retirement Playbook with Brock Allspaugh.
Hello and welcome in to the Retirement Playbook brought to you by Allspaugh Wealth Management. We are the retirement people. We're here every week, most of the time, Tony. Speaking of Tony, this is Tony Shore, my co-host. Hello, Tony. How are you, bud?
Yeah. It's been a few weeks. It took a little time off for the summer. I know you've been a busy guy and there's so much going on. I said, Brock, we got to get a new show done. And you're like, definitely. I know you have a lot to talk about today. I'm excited for today's show, but really quick, I have a question for you and our listeners and viewers out there. Okay.
Yeah.
My wife is out of town right now for 10 days and we're empty nesters. So I'm home alone for 10 days, right? Well, the dog, the pets, right? But
snakes.
My question is this. Yeah. no snakes, hopefully. Elephant, my question for you is this. Is it wrong to order pizza delivery every night of the week?
Yes. And here's why. You have to incorporate chicken wings in there.
Wings, Chinese takeout.
Chinese is fine. I'm not a big fan, but whatever. If you like it, great.
But some wings. Got to get some wings.
Got to get some wings in there. And I tell you what, I've been really kicking butt with my wing recipe at home. I really have. Like, it's fun to go out and eat wings, but it's way more fun to cook them at home and experiment with different spices and seasonings and sauces and all the things. I absolutely love it. And different ways of cooking it, as far as, you know, do you smoke them? Do you, you know, what do? You got to crisp them up somehow, kind of thing. You know, anyway, the point is I love cooking wings.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I like to get mine. So, okay. I'll just tell you. Okay. So I like to smoke mine on like 225 for about an hour, depending on how big your wings are. Like if you get the ones from Sam's, they're pretty big.
Yeah.
And so that maybe an hour and 20, maybe an hour and 30, you can kind of tell by just looking at them that they're mostly done. Right.
Right.
And then I take the smoker plate out and I put it right over the fire there and get them crispy and kind of charred a little bit. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it.
My mouth is watering just thinking about those wings.
But here's the secret, though, opinion, is to take your wings and get your hands dirty and put that seasoning all over and rub it in there and let them sit for hours in your refrigerator. Bring them out, get them room temperature, pour some more seasoning on there. And man, I'm telling you, you can't overseason it. Now, if you get those little bitty wings that are skinny and all that stuff, maybe you can overseason them. But those bigger wings, they're hard to overseason. More seasoning is better. Put it on there. And I'm telling you, it'll make your mouth water. It's making my water right now.
Yeah, I'm going to have wings tonight now. Wow. Look what you did. I'll have to order in. Yeah. Yeah. Wife's not big on wings. She's out of town. We'll have wings.
Hey, this is the time, Tony. The time is now.
That sounds great.
Get it done.
Well, that's good. And I know you've been busy, but there's a lot going on out there. So I want to get your take on a couple of things. I know you said you wanted to talk about some year-end planning. We're into the fourth quarter already. Time flies when you're having fun.
Crazy.
Yeah, we're into October in the fourth quarter. So now is the time if you want to do things that are tax related or get your finances in order.
Yeah.
It's the time.
I tell you what, man, there's been a lot of changes this year, right? You've got the big, beautiful bill. Holy cow, man. Yeah. Trying to unravel that thing and understand what you can do, what you can't do, what some of the limitations are for now for giving charitable donations, for example. I mean, all of that has changed, some for the good, some for the bad, depending on, you know, your situation, obviously. But yeah, I mean, coming up on year end tax planning, holy cow, tax loss harvesting. It's kind of hard to find some of those nuggets in there. The market's been up. So there are definitely things you can do to help yourself as you get a little bit closer to the end of the year here. But the market's been up, man. I mean, you know, the market is resilient. The consumer, specifically the American consumer, is resilient. keeps spending money, keeps the economy going. You look at the international stocks, finally, Tony, finally. And I think it's been 7 or 8 years since international stocks have actually outperformed domestic stocks. It's happening in 2025. So again, kind of that testament to being diversified, right? You're like, ah, man, internationals aren't making any money for the last several years. And that is true. Or they're still making money, just not at the pace United States stocks. But the point is, man, if you stay diversified and you stick with the plan, you're going to win, right? Don't try to, chase the shiny toy. Stick to the basics and have investments that are in line with your goals and objectives. And what I'll say about that, Tony, real quick, is that, there's five aspects to really any investment. And I think I've mentioned this before, but you have safety, you have income, you have growth, you have liquidity, and you have taxes, right? How is that investment taxed? So understanding all five of those aspects of any investment, how they relate, which one is more important in your phase of life, because it changes, right? Right now, taxes might be the most important thing for you. Maybe you sold a business. Maybe you sold, some stock or whatever it may be. Taxes is front and center. So make that number one for 2025 and 2026 and beyond. Maybe those things change between, now growth is the most important or income is the most important. This thing is constantly changing. And when the rules are changing on top of that, Tony, holy cow, that's really makes it so important to work with somebody that knows what they're doing and understands all of these things. So really long answer to your question. And you are muted.
That's a good answer, because you have to work with a trusted financial services professional like yourself. I mean, work with a fiduciary who's going to look at the big picture with all these moving parts. We see a lot happening. There's a lot of changes to healthcare, especially for seniors and retirees. If you're planning for retirement, you need to incorporate things for healthcare costs, for tax purposes, and like the Big Beautiful Bill, and before that, the Secure Act 2.0. A lot of those changes are taking effect now in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, we're still talking about the 2017 Top Jobs and Tax Cut Act. I mean, holy cow. Yeah. So yeah, as that legislative environment changes,
yeah,
we have to pivot. That's the word of the COVID, remember?
Pivot. Yeah, pivot.
So you have to pivot and understand where you're at, what you're doing, and how, whatever your goal is. And again, maybe it's to save money on taxes for 2025. Maybe it's to grow your money. Maybe it's now I've got to take income from my investments. Whatever it may be, there's a solution out there. It's just a matter of finding the right one for you, because, again, what's right for me, Tony, may not be right for you. And so it's all a very customizable deal there when it comes to, making sure that, okay, now I'm in the I've been in the accumulation phase, for example, I'm getting ready to retire. Now I'm in the distribution phase. Mm-hmm. So what has to happen?
Yeah.
Well, lots of things have to happen, right? So we have to understand where we're at right now and making sure that, okay, if I know that there's risk investing in the market, everybody knows that,
well,
right?
Sure.
And everybody accepts that risk because there's return that is in the reward column there for you, that
yep,
if you stay with it, you will be rewarded over time. But again, if we're in the income phase, that's totally different. The ballgame is totally changed compared to when you were just accumulating money. For example, sequence of returns is something we've talked about before, Tony. Sequence of returns means that, hey, the sequence as to the returns of my investments while I'm accumulating money don't matter. Let's say, for example, over 10 years, I've averaged 8%. If I earned 23% in the first year and negative 10% in the last year, doesn't matter. I averaged 8%. And I'm going to have the end result of the compounding of that return. However, if I'm taking money out of a portfolio, it totally matters. It totally matters as the sequence of returns. Because if I have a few negative years in the beginning of my retirement and I'm taking money out, we call that the double whammy, right? Taking money out. So if the market rebounds, those shares can't rebound. You've taken them out to maintain your lifestyle.
You're going
to
run out of money sooner.
Bingo. Bingo, yeah. Tony. So again, understanding things that have a huge impact on your portfolio. And there's things you can do to guard against these things, right? Sequence of returns, making sure you have enough money set aside in super conservative investments that will make sure that that income can be met. We typically like to have 2 years worth, right? To say, okay, this is your distribution amount every year, every month. So we're going to add that up for the entire year. We're going to multiply that by two to make sure we have 2 years worth of your distributions at least set aside. Everybody's different. Those are general rules. But again, things to understand that, man, when you get into that second phase of your life and you're distributing money to yourself, which is why you save the money, right? The ballgame changes and you need to be prepared for that.
So you're talking about the accumulation phase while you're working and the distribution phase in retirement.
Right.
And especially at this time of the year is the time to be looking at where you're at, because if you're already in retirement, there are things like, changes to healthcare and healthcare plans and costs and the RMDs, required minimum distributions, charitable donations. Yep. Those types of things need to be looked at when you get in October, right?
Yeah. Great, great, great point there, Tony. And yeah, so like, for example, the window's getting ready to open for your Medicare, right? So you can change your plans right now and make sure that you have, for example, the right Medicare supplement, to make sure that your costs are going to be covered in the most efficient manner possible. And so making sure that you have all of your Medicare lined up and ready to go, for next year. Okay. Yep. So we're getting into that window here.
Yep.
And so that, and then you mentioned charitable distributions or contributions. So yeah, you're saving money on taxes to be able to say, okay, where are we at for the year income wise? Where are we at from a tax perspective? And are there things that we could do? And the answer is absolutely yes, right? Now, if you're sitting back and going, oh, well, that sounds great, guys, but I don't itemize, so I can't take advantage of that charitable contribution from a tax perspective. Well, that's getting ready to change.
Yeah.
Okay. Starting next year, you can, even if you take the standard deduction, you can take up to $2,000 if you qualify for it. Again, talk to your CPA, but you can take an additional $2,000 deduction for charitable contributions starting next year. Again, confirm that with your accountant. But that's important, right? That helps. And huge. So, yeah, the other thing you can look at is, and I know we've talked about this before too, Tony, is that you can bunch your contributions. So let's say, you do $5,000 a year, but it still doesn't allow you to itemize. Well, let's take 5 years worth of that, put $25,000 in a donor advised fund, and now you've got a deduction, right? That's meaningful and that can help your tax situation. The other thing that I'll bring up tax-wise, Tony, is Roth conversions. Let's say the other side of the coin there, that you're in a little bit lower tax bracket in 2025. And so you're considering maybe doing a Roth conversion. Now, Roth conversion says that, hey, you're going to pay taxes on this money by taking it out of your traditional IRA, converting it to your Roth IRA. What's the advantage of doing that? Well, now that Roth IRA from there forward is growing tax-free for you. Okay. Now you do have to pay that tax bill. And I will say this, markets at all-time highs. And so you want the market to go up and have growth on that Roth IRA so that it's tax-free. So not to say that the markets won't continue to go up, because I think they will, at least for a little while longer, you just kind of monitor that. But don't base your decision solely on where the market is. Base it more on your tax situation. That would be my advice.
Okay. Yeah.
And so looking at where you're at so far this year and where you think you might end up for the year will help determine that answer.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That's really, really good advice. And people need to be thinking about these things. And I know that it takes people shouldn't try to do it on their own. Go in, meet with a trusted financial services professional because they're going to be able to, again, look at the big picture. And, this applies to business owners too. They need to pay attention to what's going on out there in the markets. I mean, there's been, for our business owners that are listening out there, there's been a lot of things that affect all of us, but especially them. I wanted to ask you about the Fed rate cut. So the Fed cut interest rates here a couple of weeks ago now. What does that mean for businesses. Hopefully they can get a lower rate on, you know, capital that they need.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if you've got a floating rate loan, for example, or if you just, you know, got a loan in the last year or two and its rates are a little bit higher, well, that's okay, right? I mean, it's just something you have to do or something you had to do.
Sure.
And so now you're going to have an opportunity to look at this and say, okay, I've got less money going out for interest rates. So that's, okay, let's just, I'm going to take your example or your conversation there and expand it to investments. So who in most likely would benefit from, or what type of stocks would most likely benefit from a reduction in interest rates? Mm-hmm. Typically that's your smaller cap stocks that make up kind of the Russell 2000, for example. So we've been pretty bullish here in the last few months, knowing that, the rates were cut one time. We feel like that's going to happen another 2, 3, 4 times in the next year. So as those rates then come down, now these smaller companies could put more capital to work in their business versus going out for interest payments. So, you know, that along with where the market is and where the economy is, obviously would go into that decision. But that's just one thing that would help determine where we would invest the money. Okay. And so, to your point, it can help a lot of different areas. Let's bring that to local, right? So local businesses that are not, you know, on the stock exchanges and not publicly traded, it's the same fact, right? I've got less money going out for interest, more money to pay my employees, to reinvest in my business, to give to local charities. I mean, there's just all
maybe kinds to hire of, more employees or expand or
right, exactly, all those things. So it's a big deal. It's a growth driver normally, right? But what we're looking at is also inflation, because the Fed has a couple of different mandates, right?
Yeah,
employment, right, to make sure that the employment and inflation. And so those two things are going to be looked at continuously over the next few months to justify rates coming down. So anyway,
I think they basically shifted their focus from inflation, which is hovering just over 3%, to jobs, because the job market and the job reports hadn't been as healthy. And so they are looking.
Well, we don't have them right now just because.
Well, that's true. Yeah. The government shutdown. That was the next thing I was going to ask you about.
Yeah.
But the Fed rate cuts, there's a positive. You can get hopefully. Loans and interest will lower, and that helps spur business and loans for people.
Exactly. Not only businesses, Tony, but it's, you know, your home mortgage, right?
Yeah.
I got less money going out for a payment for my house, I've got more money to do other things that stimulate the economy. So that's the whole premise behind lowering rates. Everybody understands that. And most people agree with it. But
The negative is on the safe money side for retirees. Let's say I'm in retirement, or I know a lot of seniors have things like CDs or MIGAs. Right. You're not going to get as high of a rate of lower interest rates. So there's always good and bad with these decisions, right?
Absolutely. You know, right now, one of the hottest markets right now is definitely the municipal bond market. Yes. And the reason is because we now have a reasonable real rate of return, an after-tax rate of return that we're working with. And so if you live in a state too, on top of that, that has state income tax, and we get that double tax exempt bond. And now we know that, well, we don't know. We feel like rates will come down, and you have an opportunity then to flip that and make money on selling that bond in year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years. That is a very attractive market for someone to look at and to be in, especially in the higher tax brackets. Now, if you're not in a high tax bracket, like, that's not going to help you, right? So just look at, you know, continue to do taxable bonds if that's something you're interested in. But my point is that that is a big time market right now that a lot of people are looking at.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's move on to the government shutdown before we wrap up the show today.
Sure.
I want to get your take.
It's really good to see you, Tony. It's really good to see you.
I mean, it's great to hang out with you. It's been too long, Brock.
It has been.
We've both been pretty busy this past summer. But the government shutdown, that's what's in the news right now. As of this recording, which I want to say, as of this recording, we are in a government shutdown. Now, by the time some of our listeners or viewers might see this, it could be over. Hopefully, it'll be over.
Hopefully.
But it looks right now, it doesn't look promising. So our Congress is struggling, as always. But it affects some things. I mean, they're, you know, obviously my heart goes out to federal employees who are affected
for
by
sure.
this. That's tough. Mm-hmm. But it does have a little bit of ripple effect. They don't typically affect the stock market, apparently, because that's been up.
Look, and here's why. We've become numb to this stupid cycle that we're in right now.
Right.
And pardon my French there, but seriously, this is an ongoing issue that every few months, here we are talking about the shutdown again because we can't pass a budget that is more than 3 months. Are you kidding me? Think about it. If you treated your own household budget the same way, Tony, we would all be in a disarray.
We'd all be bankrupt.
Crazy what we're dealing with here. And I know it's complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Okay.
No, they overcomplicate it. It does 100%. Not have to be this complicated.
It's one of these. It's so frustrating that every few months we got to have this conversation and we're kicking the can down the proverbial road here.
That's all Congress does is kick cans down the road. It seems they need to.
So frustrating.
Yeah, and they always and it's just they're playing partisan politics and holding our own country for hostage to try to get political points. And it's
And I understand. Look, there's negotiation process here that you have to go through.
Sure.
But to get to this point, like get more prepared and get it done so we don't have to have an extended shutdown like this.
Right.
And let's come to an agreement that makes sense for America. Who cares about freaking Democrat and Republican? Like this is an American issue, and let's get it fixed, and let's do it right. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to go on a tangent.
No, that's what I wanted, the hot take. Brock Allspaugh's hot take.
You got it.
The hot take. We're going to have a little jingle that we play. Allspaugh hot take.
Well, but the point is, Tony, is that, you know, a lot of this stuff, I get it. At the end of the day, you're right. The stock market has not been really affected by the shutdown.
Pretty resilient because it's become numb. The stock market goes up. You know, they make a change. Oh, there might be more tariffs or less tariffs that, you know, oh, this party did this or, oh, the Fed rate.
Right.
The markets just kept going up. It's crazy.
Well, listen, it's the fundamental. Now, listen, I know the performance of the stock market doesn't always reflect the fundamentals of companies that are comprised of these indices. I get it. That doesn't always
but it
happen.
It should.
Sometimes
I mean,
when it goes up
market,
when it shouldn't, and sometimes it goes down when it shouldn't.
Yeah.
I get that. But for the most part, realistically, that's what we're looking at is that the profits of these companies are continuing to go up.
Yeah.
And have they, you know, had some flags that go, okay, well, you know, it's been great, but now it's maybe slowing down a little bit. And so, yes, that has happened, but only in certain sectors. I continue to think that we will continue to see a rise in the stock market. Now, can this last forever? No. For the next few months, probably yes, barring any kind of crazy event happening. But, you know, we'll see. Ultimately, it's you know, we don't have crystal balls, Tony, but we do know that, man, it's been going good for a long time. It's time for a correction at some point. So, anyway.
Yeah. What goes up must come down.
Right.
I think we're probably headed for a correction at some point. It's just, will it be this year? Will it be next year? What will spur it?
And by the way, that corrections are healthy. You know, normally
they really are. They give you opportunities, especially if you're in your working years. Corrections are great because a correction, if the market goes down 15-20%, then you have an opportunity to buy and you're buying in constantly.
What a great example was in 2025 earlier this year in April. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, man, if you invest in some of those tech companies that went down 15%, 20%, you know, you
look really, where you're at today.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, And when the tariffs hit and the market dropped 15-20%, the people who panicked and got out, and there were, you know, people.
Oh, yeah.
Probably got calls. Oh, I want to get out. And trying to talk them off.
We have good, smart clients.
Yes.
We have good, smart clients. So they did not do that.
Yeah. Well, they have a plan in place and they know if they stick with
that's
it.
Right.
But if somebody got out and went to cash during, not only did they, not only would they have been better off to stay in, they would have come out way, way ahead.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. So,
yeah, same with 2022.
Yeah. Right. The bottom line here, Tony, is that, you know, there's always going to be noise in any year. There's always going to be things that you need to be thinking about as you get closer to the end of the year when it comes to tax planning and understanding where you're at and where you're going and how someone can help you get there. That's what we do here at Alspaugh Wealth Management. So if you need help in your life, give us a call here at 573-332-7855 or look us up on the web at alspaughwealthmanagement.com.
All right. Thanks, Brock. Great show today. Listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of The Retirement Playbook with our host, Brock Allspaugh.
Thank you for joining us for The Retirement Playbook. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Brock Allspaugh at Allspaugh Wealth Management at 573-332-7855 or visit AllspaughWealthManagement.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of The Retirement Playbook.
Advisory services are offered through Alspaugh Wealth Management, LLC, an investment advisor in the state of Missouri. Insurance products and services are offered through Innovative Insurance Consultants, LLC, an affiliated company.
We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent. All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.